For he is not a man, as I am, that we should come together. Neither is there any that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him therefore take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me." There exists, at this moment, in good preservation, a remarkable work of Salkin's. The curious management of its lights constitutes, as usual in his pieces, the chief apparent merit of the picture. I say apparent, for in its subject, and not in its handling, however exquisite, consists its real value. The picture represents the interior of what might be a chamber in some antique religious building, and its foreground is occupied by a female figure, in a species of white robe, part of which is arranged so as to form a veil. The dress, however, is not that of any religious order. In her hand, the figure bears a lamp, by which alone her figure and face are illuminated, and her features wear such an arch smile, as well as becomes a pretty woman when practicing some prankish roguery. In the background, and excepting where the dim red light of an expiring fire serves to define the form, in total shadow stands the figure of a man, dressed in the old Flemish fashion, in an attitude of alarm, his hand being placed upon the hilt of his sword, which he appears to be in the act of drawing. There are some pictures which impress one, I know not how, with a conviction that they represent not the mere ideal shapes and combinations which have floated through the imagination of the artist, but scenes, faces, and situations which have actually existed. There is, in that strange picture, something that stamps it as the representation of a reality. And such in truth it is, for it faithfully records a remarkable and mysterious occurrence, and perpetuates, in the face of the female figure, which occupies the most prominent place in the design, an accurate portrait of Rose Velderkaust, the niece of Gerard Dow, the first and, I believe, the only love of Godfrey Salkin. My great-grandfather knew the painter well, and from Salkin himself he learned the fearful story of the painting, and from him, too, he ultimately received the picture itself as a bequest. The story and the picture have become heirlooms in my family, and having described the latter, I shall, if you please, attempt to relate the tradition which has descended with the canvas. There are a few forms on which the mantle of romance hangs more ungracefully than upon that of the uncouth Salkin, the boorish but most cunning worker in oils, whose pieces delight the critics of our day almost as much as his manners disgusted the refined of his own. And yet this man, so rude, so dogged, so slovenly, in the midst of his celebrity, had in his obscure but happier days played the hero in a wild romance of mystery and passion. When Salkin studied under the immortal Gerard Dow, he was a very young man, and in spite of his phlegmatic temperament, he at once fell head and ears in love with the beautiful niece of his wealthy master. Rose Velderkaust was still younger than he, having not yet attained her 17th year, and if tradition speaks truth, possessed all the soft and dimpling charms of the fair, light-haired Flemish maidens. The young painter loved honestly and fervently. His frank adoration was rewarded. He declared his love, and extracted a faltering confession in return. He was the happiest and proudest painter in all Christendom. But there was somewhat to dash his elation. He was poor and undistinguished. He dared not ask Gerard for the hand of his sweet ward. He must first win a reputation and a competence. There were, therefore, many dread uncertainties.